The Trump administration has gotten off to an interesting start in its relations with China. Shortly after winning November's election, then-President-elect Trump took a call from the leader of Taiwan. That was the first communication between the leaders of the U.S. and Taiwan in more than 35 years. Trump has also talked about reviewing the One China policy, which holds that the U.S. deals with the Chinese government and not that of Taiwan. Then earlier this month, President Trump affirmed American commitment to the One China policy during a phone call with the Chinese president. So what does all this mean for our relations with the world's most populous country? To help answer that, I'm joined by Nicholas Hope. He's the former director of the Stanford Center for International Development and has focused on U.S.-China relations. And Nicholas, what should we be making of all this?
It's a difficult thing to respond to because much of what I make of it is inference. It's not fact, though that doesn't always seem to worry the White House. My reaction initially was to say that there are some people giving the president very bad advice. The idea that the One China basis for U.S.-China relations would be challenged, I think, was both reckless and totally unnecessary. You know, it was a provocation to the Chinese to suggest that that Taiwan could be independent, although I would sympathize with Taiwanese citizens who do not want necessarily to be part of a country with a government of the kind that runs China. But it's not something that the Chinese regard as a negotiating point, and anybody who thinks it is a negotiating point makes a tremendous error.
Well, do you think it affects our relationship with China and sort of how we each view the other that this has all gone down in the past couple months?
It would have done. I mean, I actually, one of the reasons for being comparatively cheerful for the past week is that, you know, wiser heads seem to have prevailed. I actually am inclined to credit Secretary Tillerson for the backtracking and the suggestion that the One China policy will in fact be honoured. This century depends on an effective cooperative partnership between the most populous country in the world and the most economically powerful country in the world, China in the first case, the US in the second. And we can't afford to get off to a relationship that is destroyed before it starts by emphasis on the wrong thing.
Well, there are certainly a lot of issues that the U.S. and China have to work on and have to deal with. How do you think that the two leaders of those countries view each other?
I hope they view each other with respect. They don't need to be chums. They don't need to share hobbies. I don't think President Xi's going to become a golfer anytime soon, although I would advise him to if he has the opportunity. But they do need to respect the views that the other leader has on various issues, and they need an open line of communication. They need to be willing to talk. I think Obama and Xi did a pretty good job to establish fairly good lines of communication. I take this recent announcement that the One China policy will be honored by Trump as a very positive indication that that the Trump administration will keep those lines of communication wide open.
Do you think the recent actions with North Korea and the fact that the Prime Minister of Japan was in the U.S. at the time and he and President Trump seemed to be in lockstep on that issue, does that have anything to bear with the American relationship, at least officially with China?
It must do. I mean, the Chinese, I read something very briefly. I haven't had a chance to read it more thoroughly, but the Chinese are suggesting that the U.S. Is responsible for this most recent missile test. I find that an unacceptable conclusion. I mean, I do fault China on the relationship with North Korea. For whatever reason, China has treated North Korea, I think, with kid gloves. And I find it hard to understand because it cannot be in China's longer-term interest to see South Korea or Japan decide that they want to join the nuclear club as the only way that they can protect themselves against whatever madness might be wrought by the North Korean regime. And I think China has had within its power the ability to tell the ruler of North Korea at any point over the past 15 or 20 years that it's not acceptable to try to join the nuclear weapon club. and that if you want us to support you, even in the sort of madness that you've perpetrated upon your citizens, then you've got to eschew the possibility of firing nuclear-tipped missiles at countries that you don't like. Why that hasn't happened, I'm totally unsure. It just seems to me that China hasn't acted in its own interest as well as the interest of most right-thinking countries in this regard.
Well, Nicholas Hope, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. I appreciate it.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Nicholas Hope is the former director of the Stanford Center for International Development.